In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, and that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Saint Jose Maria begins one of his homilies with these words: "We are at the beginning of Lent, a time of penance, purification, and conversion. It is not an easy program, but then Christianity is not an easy way of life." Indeed, we're at the beginning of Lent. In fact, we're about 10 or 11 days into Lent. Time goes fast. And maybe in this time of prayer here, in this oratory in Manhattan, we can consider, how's it going so far? A little bit of an examination of conscience. A former mayor of New York, Ed Koch, very popular mayor from 1977 to 89, he would stand at street corners, they say, and ask people as they walked by, "How am I doing?" And the famous phrase of Mayor Koch, "How am I doing?" Now we can ask our Lord that in a way in our prayer. Here's we, Lord, as we open our heart to you, how am I doing? How's my Lent going? How is this time of penance, purification, and conversion? Well, with great hope and great joy, we can, let's keep going. Maybe we've made some resolutions back at the beginning and started to live them pretty well. Maybe they've tailed off a bit already. That can happen. With a lot of hope, we right back up and try to live out those penances, because they're good for us. Of course, the themes of Lent are almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. And these should be actually identifiable, could we say? How am I doing? What am I doing? Am I trying to live a good Lent? The Saint Jose Maria would say, love is deeds and not sweet words. And Lent is about love, of course. Lord, I want to love you more, more and more. Each day in Lent, in a way, is a journey toward a deeper love for God. We want to arrive to Holy Week and the Paschal Triduum with a burning love for God. And this, in spite of our sins, which are there. Indeed, Lent is a time of purification. Through our sacrifices, through our almsgiving, our fasting, we can purify our sins and be more ready for Holy Week. That special encounter with Christ, in a way, at the Last Supper, try to be there at the foot of the cross on Good Friday. Wait in faith on Holy Saturday, that quiet, somber, yet hopeful day. And then, of course, enter into the joy of the Easter Vigil, when we will again be able to say or to sing, Alleluia. We're waiting for that. And we have to go through Lent to get there, this time of prayer, penance, and purification, and conversion. Conversion, Lord, help us to be open to conversion, which is a change, is the root of the word, is what it means, conversio, a turning around, a revolving, a change. It can mean changing from one religion to another, but it can also refer to our own personal journey, our own soul, which also is in need of conversion in some way, for sure. Because as St. Augustine says, if we say, okay, good, enough, I'm where I need to be, well, then we're lost, because we should always strive to do more, to give more to God. We always need to turn, going closer to God. One of the other definitions, if you will, of the word conversion: a radical and complete change in spirit, purpose, and direction of life, away from sin and toward love of God. And Lent certainly reminds us of that need and that hope. It's very hopeful. Lent, again, it's about love. It's not just some sort of weight on our spiritual selves that I've got to skip this and do that and go through misery for 40 days. Well, no, it's a joyful time. Spiritually, it's a joyful time. Hopefully, we're getting closer to God through the penances and the prayers and the almsgiving that we're trying to live. Indeed, we can apply these practices of Lent to, for example, to the people in Ukraine. Let's pray for that situation in Ukraine. A little sacrifices can be part of that. We feel helpless. In fact, the prelate of Opus Dei, he wrote a nice brief letter, united in prayer and fasting for peace, and referring to the situation in Ukraine and Europe. And he says in his letter, it is natural for us to feel powerless to change the course of history. And we might think, well, what can I do here in New York? What can I do to help the people there in that terrible conflict? Well, let us rely on the strength of prayer. Without our Lord, all efforts to bring peace to hearts will fall short. Everything begins with God. You even have a chance for anything hopeful, any change there, it begins with God. So indeed, we must pray. And there are, amidst this terrible suffering that people are going through, it is wonderful to see so many people pitching in and helping who are right there at the borders. There's a nice, really nice account, a bit of a day-by-day diary of a young supernumerary in Opus Dei. On the Opus Dei website, he's from Poland, and he talks about receiving people at the border, getting his friends together, getting a car, getting supplies for these mothers and children who are there at the border, and getting them to a place where they can have some refuge of sort. But he really pitched in, and he took time and effort to help in that way. And all this good, any good, will come from the Lord. And so here, in our place, well, the prelate offers at least an idea here. At the same time, let us realize that peace is an ongoing task. Taking an active role in living this beatitude means contributing to and fostering peace in our own families, at work, and in society. Okay, well, that is within reach. I'm not powerless there in terms of my own surroundings right here. Peace, yes, I should foster peace in my own family, at work, in society. How do I treat the others in my family or at work? Am I a peacemaker? Am I trying to live this beatitude? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Am I quick to forgive? Do I avoid grudges? Or just being in a bad mood? Sometimes that's a good mortification. That's a good almsgiving. I need to fast from bad moods during this time of Lent. And that way we are creating an environment of peace in a very practical way. And at work, of course, avoiding gossip at work, backbiting, complaining. So we can do our part. And yes, we can offer things up for those who are suffering anywhere in the world in some special way. But for that, let's seek our own personal conversion, because there is that tendency, because of original sin, to cave in on ourselves a bit, to protect my own place, my own preferences, my ideas. And if I'm not out of myself, I'm really not a Christian, or not living out my Christian life. And to get out of myself, it might require a bit of conversion. A radical change, perhaps, a radical and complete change, turning away from sin and toward love of God. you know, Pope John Paul II, St. John Paul II, a talk he gave to young people in Barcelona and Camp Nou back in 1982, he said, okay, you want to change the world? Good. Change yourself first. Where do you need to be changed? Basically, where do you need to be converted? And in so many ways, we see this being lived out in the history of mankind, really. It's a really nice book called With New Eyes, Story of My Conversion. An Italian journalist, a woman named Alessandra Borghese, wrote about her own conversion, in which she puts it, wished to look into the depths of her own being. And the human being is problematic for himself or herself if he does not encounter God. We need to encounter God on a daily basis and every moment, really, to be aware of God's presence. We are children of God. And God is demanding of me. God wants me to be holy. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. If you wish to be my disciple, deny yourself, pick up the cross and follow me. That's where we will encounter God, in this getting out of ourselves and seeking the good of the other. And she talks about that. And then one of the journalists, one of her colleagues, talking about commenting on this book of hers, in her pages, she often refers to the topic of trusting in God, which is something more than simply believing. To trust implies abandonment in the hands of someone who is the ultimate end of my existence. There's a nice little definition of God, the ultimate end of my existence. Do I really live for God? As I go about my day, the ordinary decisions that I make, or the way I use my time, is the ultimate end, God. And that doesn't mean, going around with slogans, Christian slogans all over our t-shirts, or a rosary around my neck, but the way I live, like St. Jose Maria writes in The Way, may your behavior and your conversation be such that people can say, this man, this woman, reads the life of Jesus Christ. His charity, his hard work, his smile when it's hard to smile, his mercy upon people who offend him. This man, this woman, reads the life of Jesus Christ. There's a real encounter with God. It seems that the ultimate end of that person's existence is God. And not because living a sort of clerical way, but there's a real goodness, an authentic goodness about that person. And thank you, Lord, we see that. And the people around us, it's great. Our heart is lifted when we see goodness around us. We experience that. It's right here in New York, so many wonderful people who are doing good for others. You see it on a daily basis, wherever, in the office, or at a street corner, in a shop. So let's be part of that. And let's not grow tired of it. Again, we're 10 days into Lent. How am I doing? Let's keep it going. And Pope Francis, in his Lenten message for this year, he takes the theme from some of St. Paul's words to the Galatians. Let us not grow tired of doing good, for in due time we shall reap our harvest, if we do not give up. So then, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all. St. Paul exhorting the Galatians, live the Christian life. Persevere Let us not grow tired of doing good. That seems to be the theme. There are a couple of themes in those words of St. Paul. Perseverance and charity. St. Jose Maria would say, conversion is a matter of a moment. Sanctity is a matter of a lifetime. So yes, we need conversion. We need to turn toward God, to really encounter God. But day after day after day, in all that we do, let us not grow tired of doing good. And the Pope says this is a good time. Lent is a favorable time for personal and community renewal. And this opportune time, yes, Lent. That's Lent is an opportune time to wake up a bit, to live charity, to do good. But he said, so is our entire existence, of which Lent is in some way an image. Our life is a bit of a Lent, a journey. We're aiming for ultimately the resurrection, heaven. But Lent, our life is a bit of an ongoing Lent with the goal in mind. Eternal life. All too often, the Pope said, in our lives, greed, pride, and the desire to possess, accumulate, and consume have the upper hand, as we see from the story of the foolish man in the Gospels, in the Gospel parable, who thought his life was safe and secure because of the abundant grain and goods he had stored in his barns. He had all this grain. He was a good businessman. He was that was working. But, okay, what am I going to do with all this grain that coming in? Well, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger barns. It's all for me. Eat, drink, and be merry. Fool. This very night your life will be required of you. And who will all that grain be for? What are you living for? What is the center of your existence? Well, God has to be the very meaning of my existence. And therefore, Lord, I'll try to not grow tired of doing good, of living charity, of getting out of myself and seeking the good of the other. Lent invites us to conversion, the Pope said, to a change in mindset, so that life's truth and beauty may be found not so much in possessing as in giving. Indeed, Lord, we'll try to do that. Let's try to give ourselves our time, our financial support, if that be the case, our encouragement, our love, our mercy. Cardinal Van Thuan was in prison at the time. Bishop Francis Xavier Van Thuan, a Vietnamese bishop, very holy man, his cause for canonization is being studied. He preached a retreat to Pope John Paul II, others of the Curia, in the year 2000. And afterwards, the Pope said, write a book about using those meditations. And he did. He obeyed. And we have a wonderful book called Testimony of Hope. And in that book, he talked about love, what is demanded of us in terms of love as Christians. A unique characteristic of Christian love is the love of enemies, an aspect that non-believers find inconceivable. One day in prison, I was asked, do you love us? Yes, I love you. That was one of the things that came out after he was in the prison for 13 years, 9 years in solitary confinement, and he had a good effect on the guards there. I mean, he recounts a conversation here with the guards. Do you love us? Yes, I love you. But we have kept you in prison for so many years without a trial, without a sentence, and you love us? That's impossible. Perhaps it's not true. I've been with you many years. You've seen that it's true. When you are free, won't you send your faithful to burn our homes, to kill our families? That's the mentality. It's out there in the world, in different places. Revenge. No, even if you want to kill me, I love you. But why? Because Jesus has taught me to love everyone, even my enemies. If I don't, I am no longer worthy to be called a Christian. It's very beautiful, but very hard to understand. But he did. He did have a good effect on those guards. Well, let's love. Let us love everyone. And let's not grow tired of doing good. Again, the Pope's message for Lent, and try to put into practice with everyone around us. So often, Lord, I'm quick to judge rashly or to fall into anger, to give someone the cold shoulder. Okay, they treat me like that. I'm not gonna give them the time of day, let alone a smile. The temptation is there. But Jesus, you truly are. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, you said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And so we don't have a right to grow tired of doing good, even when it seems like it's not given back. Let us not grow tired of praying, the Pope encourages us in his message. Jesus taught us to pray always without becoming weary. Indeed, we have that in the gospel a few days ago. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. Well, let's keep doing that. Our Lord said, persevere in prayer. Don't give up. Pray always. Do not lose heart. And maybe the Lord will respond to us in ways we're not expecting. Oh, I wanted it to be this other way. Well, no, we have to keep asking. We have to keep praying. And let's also be sure to pray with rectitude of intention, to live Lent with rectitude of intention, to fast with rectitude of intention. Lent is not about some self-improvement time, 40 days of self-improvement. No, it's to love God. It's to worship God. So my prayer, my fasting, almsgiving, it's to love God. And yes, to make reparation for my sins, and to seek the good of another. But it's not a self-improvement program. Well, we want to be holy, of course. That's a self-improvement in that, that conversion toward holiness. But not just to sort of get our bodies back into shape by fasting. For the love of God and for the purification of our sins. Let us not grow tired of uprooting evil from our lives. May the corporal fasting to which Lent calls us fortify our spirit for the battle against sin. Fasting helps us to fight against sin. It's giving self-discipline to the body, which sometimes tempts us to sin. And for that matter, the mind too. Of course, there can be sins of the mind. So fasting, this purification of fasting, can help us a lot. And in a special way, well, the Pope points out here, confession. Let us not grow tired of asking for forgiveness in the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, knowing that God never tires of forgiving. How good God is. And this time of Lent is a time of great mercy. Right? A special time of mercy. We should always see God's mercy when we need to. Anytime we've fallen into sin, he's always there waiting for us. But in the sacrament of confession, reconciliation. Let's not grow tired of asking for forgiveness. Oh, I sinned again. What's the priest going to think? I was just here yesterday. No, who cares? The priest is supposed to be a conduit of mercy. He's ordained minister to be used by God for mercy. So the priest doesn't think twice about it. St. Jose Maria said, I'll give a person absolution 7 times a day if he comes back repentant each time. So let's never get tired of asking for forgiveness in the sacrament of penance. Let us not grow tired of fighting against concupiscence. Concupiscence is that attraction to disordered things in a disordered way. Let's not get tired of fighting against that. That weakness, the Pope said, which induces to selfishness and all evil, and finds in the course of history a variety of ways to lure men and women into sin. That's concupiscence. Concupiscence in itself is not a sin. It's just a part of our fallen nature. It's a result of original sin, but we have to fight against it, that lure. That disordered lure to things of this world. And he points out very practically, one of these is addiction to the digital media, which impoverishes human relationships. Lent is a propitious time to resist these temptations and to cultivate instead a more integral form of human communication. That might be a nice thing to continue in Lent or start in Lent, just a certain fasting from, he calls it addiction to the digital media. Do I need to look again at what's coming in on whatever, Twitter, Instagram, or I won't say Facebook. I think that's only for old people now, I believe, as I'm told. So, but to have a certain purification, a certain detachment, a certain fasting from that. And yes, that helps us to fight against concupiscence and turn toward people. A human being right in front of me, indeed, to be sure. We want to cultivate that. The Pope calls these authentic encounters. Not, I guess, what would that be, the opposite or contrary to virtual encounters? Authentic encounters with the person in front of me. Let us not grow tired of doing good and active charity towards our neighbors. During this Lent, may we practice almsgiving by giving joyfully. God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, enables each of us not only to have food to eat, but also to be generous in doing good to others. It's just like that fellow, that young supernumerary in Poland. He just takes the time, I'm going to do good for others. And he was able to do that in a very practical way, and we can too, and right here in New York, with the people around us. I don't know, maybe sometimes, maybe handing a sandwich over to a person on the street instead of and skipping lunch that day, perhaps. Freedom, we see what's best, but let the Holy Spirit speak to us in these ways. And then all this, the Pope is a brief message the Pope has here for Lent. His last point, perseverance, to persevere in doing good. If we do not give up, we shall reap our harvest in due time. Quoting St. Paul again to Galatians. Each year during Lent, we are reminded that goodness together with love, justice, and solidarity are not achieved once and for all. They have to be realized each day. Begin and begin again. Each day we wake up and, Lord, we want to, in so many words, say, I will serve. Lord, I will serve you. I want to serve you and therefore serve your people. We must love God and neighbor and persevere in this. Well, let's ask our Blessed Mother to help us continue in this Lenten journey, to really try to do our best and ask our Lord, maybe ask Our Lady, how am I doing? It's like Ed Koch here in New York. How am I doing? And with an openness to hear something, I do need to convert. I do need to change in this area, that area. Not just a nice idea. Lent is not a nice idea. I want to embrace the ways of the Lord. And we have plenty of examples in these saints who have gone before us, and they intercede from heaven. Indeed, Mary, Joseph, all the saints can help us in this effort to really live Lent well, this time of penance, purification, and conversion. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you've communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.